When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, we've been saying for a long time, we just got to take the mic away. It was bad enough he got the camera angle.
I know. But it's like if he sets it up, so it's like...
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't be like, oh, don't set up your...
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to do the work myself.
I mean, sure. Absolutely.
Rolling?
We did, huh? We are?
Oh. Rolling.
For real we are?
Yeah.
Okay, so Joel, who's switching today?
Justin Bieber.
Blam! What?
The Biebs.
The Biebs. That was Quint. That was peak Bieb.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
But that style right there on any dude. Go ahead.
Cool.
Go ahead.
That's all my hair is if I take my hat off.
Let's see.
Well, not right now.
No. We're going to do a side-by-side. So go ahead and sit down and put your... We're going to do a side-by-side.
Okay, let's see.
Because you just said it looked like Justin Bieber. So we're just, going to see. Actually, better. Can I tell you better? Yours is better. Yours is better. I like the gray. It's way better than the bleach blonde, right?
Justin Bieber is a silver fox?
That'll
get some panties damp.
That was meant to make fun of Joel, and then it was like, oh, really?
Just backfired. Because
I'm about to look way better and cooler. Okay. Sometimes it happens, not often, right?
That's why it's easy to make fun of Joel, because it's all not true.
I know. Everything we say.
I mean, I don't mean to break the illusion or anything like that.
I know.
But, I mean, come on. The guy's a smoke show.
Right? Oh. That stuff, yeah. Really? I thought you were talking about when he's, like, dumb and, like, doesn't know stuff.
No, that's true.
Because
no,
that is 100% true, huh?
Either that or he's Daniel Day-Lewis. Goddamn.
I know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
My
you.
My confidence is way up at the start of the show. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. Sorry, you know. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Today we have a case that is very well known, and more so recently. When I looked this case up, the amount of people that have done it is staggering, but none of them were fun and flirty.
No, not at all.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's our niche in the market.
That's our niche. We're like, everyone's so serious, so abused, and I'm, you know what I mean? And we're like, come on, people!
This is fun, flirty stuff.
Lighten
I mean, especially
up.
This case.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's how we're going to maybe set ourselves apart. But this is this is bigger than a heavy hitter.
Actually,
don't you think?
Yeah, overall, definitely.
Yeah. Did you know about it before I was like, can you put this together?
Yes.
Right.
I had heard about it before. I hadn't read into it all that much, but all the details that I knew, it was, when it happened, it did blow up, but it's a compelling story. Like,
yes.
I haven't heard any other stories quite like it.
There's HBO doc that's, like, one of the best. Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. There's, on Hulu, they did a fictionalized version of it. And it's always kind of been, as far as true crime, it's been in the world. And then, most recently... Everyone knows about it.
Some new developments.
So we're talking about, of course, Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Good old Gypsy Rose.
GRB. Do you know what I mean?
Ooh,
GRB.
GRB, I like that.
GRB is going to BRB. You know what I mean? Don't worry, she's going to BRB, right?
What's this episode about?
Gypsy
what
Rose
it about? Okay, well, this case is either...
This is a true crime show. We talk about murders.
Yeah, so
primarily.
Sometimes people get murdered. Joel.
Someone's going to die.
Joel. Honey.
Wait and see.
Sweet boy. Joel, hang
every
on.
Every time.
Just one person and you might not be mad about it, okay?
Put
so this time you might not be mad about it, all right? That's all we're going to say.
Mm-hmm. Or cry about it. After the show?
Okay. After the show, which you normally do. Go into your trailer.
Cry.
Turn off the electricity and just let
smoke
that,
cigarettes
let
and cry.
That
yeah.
smell just, you know what I mean?
Really ferment.
Yeah. Well, Joel, since you asked, this case is either the most romantic love story ever told.
I love a love story.
Right. Or the most fucked up case of abuse and vigilante justice.
Oh.
Or
I like that too.
It's just Louisiana. And like this is the fucking shit. It's a deep swamp of Louisiana, and this is not an uncommon story. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So one of those things could be true.
On June 14th, 2015, the body of Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard was discovered by sheriff's deputies in Springfield, Missouri. She had been stabbed to death by an unknown assailant. To make matters worse, her disabled teenage daughter, Gypsy Rose, was also missing. Whoever had abducted her daughter had left behind her wheelchair along with multiple prescription medications. This was yet another tragedy in a long series of tragedies for the Blanchard family.
There's already dead people. We just started.
Well, yeah, we gotta get to the meat and
the
potatoes.
The dead person is not the crazy part. You know what I'm saying? So let's get that out of the way for Joel.
Give some good perspective on this case that somebody dying is by far the least insane part of the entire story.
Oh,
right. Maybe we should do the cases that way, where it's like we just get the murder out of the way for Joel. Let him process the rest of the show. Right? We're just like, hey, Joel, this is what happened. And then we kind of get into the cases. He's crying.
We'll give that a shot. Well, if this one works, then yeah, we'll
then
do
perfect.
That. We'll do
yeah.
that going forward.
Okay.
Gypsy had been suffering from various medical issues since she was a baby. At only 3 months old, her and her mother spent multiple days in the hospital due to what Dee Dee believed was sleep apnea. Throughout her childhood, she suffered from a series of health issues which her mother attributed to a chromosomal disorder. By the time she was 6 years old, she was already using a walker to help her get around.
Damn.
Yeah, so it was like it was one of those things that seemed like that the mom was like, something's wrong. Dee Dee's like, something's wrong. Don't know what it is. It's just not right. And kept taking her to doctors to try and, you know, figure out why my daughter is not quite well, right? Gypsy's health issue worsened when she was 7 or 8 years old while riding on a motorcycle with her grandfather. The two got in a wreck, which left her in a wheelchair. So not only does she have some unknown, bizarre illness that they can't figure out, now she's in a wheelchair because of an accident.
And she's seven? She's seven?
7 or 8 at this point.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
Throughout all of her medical ordeals, her mother, Dee Dee, was always right by her side, holding her hand and guiding her through the understandably frightening and confusing medical procedures.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was the kind of stuff you would see in a made-for-TV movie on Lifetime. You know?
Yeah.
Did they make
the
one
bond.
About her? Did they make a Lifetime movie about her?
Recently.
Ah, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. She deserved it.
Yeah. As if the medical difficulties weren't enough, Gypsy also faced abuse at the hand of her elderly grandfather. It's like... Louisiana, come on. You know? And we could go so far.
What was the abuse? Like, what was the...
Well, the creepy old dick bag sexually abused both Dee Dee and Gypsy. Thanks for asking, Joel. Thanks for asking.
Oh, no. Fuck.
What'd you think it was?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Abuse these days, and all days, I guess, can be very, you know, various forms.
Kind of a nebulous term, but... I think we all knew the kind
if
of abuse.
It's a grandfather
that was going on.
In Louisiana. Take one guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Sexual abuse.
Sure.
Bingo.
Of both the mom and the granddaughter. Ugh. Forcing them both to take baths with him, among other unmentionable acts.
With it. Oh.
Go ahead.
No.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bud. No, what's the question? I'd love to explain it to you.
He would take baths with his daughter and his granddaughter.
And his granddaughter.
Adult daughter and...
And 38, 37-year-old, right? At this point.
Yeah,
probably.
Around that age. And then...
And they did.
30s, 70, mid, yeah, mid into
early
late.
30s, and then a granddaughter that's, you know, between the ages of 8 and 10.
Well, I think they were... Were they living with him, which is why...
So
they had to do this. I mean,
not at first, but her grandfather was pretty heavily involved with her life overall.
Okay.
Through
so
everything.
I'm sure in various points they had to lean on him.
Yeah, he's like one of those boogers you just can't flick off your finger.
Sure.
It sticks with you and then sure. molests you.
Oh, God. This is fun. I'm having a great time so far.
To me, worse than murder is talking about picking boogers and flicking them.
Ugh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hate boogers more than anything.
And Coop knew that. when he said it, I could tell. Like, there was no reason for him to say it that way.
Oh, I bring up boogers in every episode, don't I?
Do you? Could you?
No.
No, I don't.
Moving forward, could you?
I probably will now.
All right, perfect.
No, thanks.
Oh. Yeah, so sexually made him take a little tubbies together. Oh. After Dee Dee suffered a leg injury in a car accident, the two of them were forced to move in with the geriatric deviant. While Dee Dee recovered, the abuse only got worse. Oh. Now this family, can it get worse, Joel, do you think? What you reckon?
It always does.
Because that seemed like a lot of stuff, right?
It's fucked. Yeah. It's already fucked if we just started.
Yeah. That's the good part, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. During the time Gypsy and Dee Dee were living... He's had a long day. He's a lot of calls from Ross Patterson to, like, do shit, right?
And then he's got to deal with us at the tail end.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, man, I just wanted to fucking chill in my trailer.
God bless you for
it.
This is a hard thing to make fun of, you know? Or how are you guys so happy right now?
Well.
You love this shit.
Could we be messing with you? Do you know what I mean? Like, which we like to do. We're not saying we are. But sometimes we like to, you know, tell the story in a certain way for you to... Well, I guess just feel
cry.
Horrible and bad, yeah. huh? Yeah. Like, we just got... I was never able to pinpoint what we're trying to do to Joel, but I think it's just we want him to just...
It's called bullying.
I was trying to think of some way to support what you were saying, and I was just like, oh, wow, yeah, that is kind of what we're doing.
Yeah, it's called bullying.
We're bullying.
It's good for the show,
and
though.
The only thing worse than bullying is cyberbullying. Because that, you cannot get away from it, huh?
It follows you everywhere.
You cannot get rid of the phone.
There's
you cannot
no possible
turn it
way.
Off.
And have you ever had a cyber wedgie?
Man. Ruin your life,
hell
your
yeah.
career, and your family.
That's how I ended up here.
Yeah. Well, and we're happy for it, but I know you're miserable, huh? I know. But we're benefiting from what cyberbullying has done to you.
Yeah. We benefit from Coop's misery. Look how miserable he is.
And don't we all benefit from each other's? During the time Gypsy and Dee Dee were living with Grandpa Grabby Hands, they both also endured emotional abuse and manipulation. This was made obvious after she was named the honorary queen of a children's parade in New Orleans in 2001. When asked to describe herself, she said she was an animal lover with four cats, and her grandfather was her best friend.
Fuck.
Dee Dee and Gypsy suffered at his hands for 10 months before finally escaping his house of horrors.
I wonder if that would have any sort of long-lasting effect on Dee Dee. Considering that's what she grew up with.
Nah,
couldn't possibly.
Not at all.
I mean, it seems like she grew up to be pretty well-adjusted.
Yeah, and I'm not a psychologist, which we all say many times. Like, we are not professionals of anything.
And Dee Dee's the,
right?
Yeah, the wheelchair kid?
Dee Dee's the mom.
Yeah. Dee Dee's the mom.
Dee Dee's the mom.
Yeah, Gypsy's
the wheelchair
kid. Gypsy's
the wheelchair kid.
Gypsy Rose is a wheelchair kid.
Wheelchair kid.
Wheelchair and just a bunch of, you know... unknown illnesses. At this point, they're not really sure, but
yeah. still trying to figure out. If it wasn't for bad luck, some people would have no luck at all. This is especially true in the case of Gypsy Rose. After a lifetime of health issues and abuse at the hands of her grandfather, God decided to throw the Blanchards another curveball. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans, completely destroying their home and forcing them to move to a new city. Worst of all, it forced them to move to Missouri.
Yeah.
Like, I came from
worst
a
part
very,
of the whole story, yeah?
Yeah, very, very redneck, dysfunctional family, and they were even smart enough to get out of Missouri before I was born.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Following Hurricane Katrina, Gypsy and Dee Dee got in front of the local news cameras, tugging at all the strings. Their story made it to Habitat for Humanity, who built the two a pink house with painted flowers, equipped with a wheelchair ramp for Gypsy in Springfield, Missouri, where Gypsy's health problems continued. Still confined to a wheelchair, Gypsy now also had to be put on a feeding tube.
Fuck.
The cocktail of prescription medications she was forced to take caused her further issues, leaving her with no hair and missing teeth. Being fed a liquid diet through a feeding tube left Gypsy malnourished and underdeveloped. By the time she was in her teens, Gypsy was only 4 feet 11 inches tall and still spoke with the voice of a girl half her age.
What the fuck?
And in, yeah, hearing recordings of the way that she talked and also looking at pictures of her, she... You guys remember those old Six Flags commercials with the dancing old man?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 like, oh my, this girl is going through it.
That guy from the Six Flags commercials really fell on hard times.
Yeah.
Despite all of this, she became a minor celebrity in the town she lived in due to her cheerful personality and bright, albeit toothless, smile that some could say lit up a room.
Oh, no.
But.
Does she die?
Well, that's what we're going to find
on
out.
Thank you. That was actually innocent.
We're tricking you this whole episode. And by the way, a lot of people are tricking.
We have to get those t-shirts made.
We really do, but did she die?
Yeah.
And it's got to be like somebody with like a head.
A disabled kid in a wheelchair?
No, because that's not funny, Joel. I don't know why you're laughing. That's not funny, Joel.
That's not the jokes that we've been telling.
As soon as he gets on board, we just fucking cyberbully. Now, is it cyberbully in person? Gosh, I don't.
No,
we're on the internet.
No, it's just bullying. I mean,
I don't know.
I was going to say, now that you pointed it out, I think we're just gaslighting him every episode.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
God bless you for it.
But did she die? Wait, oh no, with like a severed, somebody holding like a head, like somebody's like head joke, like in a cartoon way. And it just says, but did she die?
Did she die? And
it's Joel looking exactly like this with a mic. And the bubble is just like, but did she die? But did she die? Ruben. Make it. Send it. All right.
Despite all of this, she became a minor celebrity in the town she lived in due to her cheerful personality. Wherever they went, Gypsy charmed everyone around her with her positive attitude and bravery in the face of overwhelming odds. Regardless of the overwhelming odds stacked against her, she never seemed to give up hope. It would have been the perfect happy ending for their made-for-TV movie were it not for the fact that it was all built on lies.
Oh, I thought Joel was going to do that.
Yeah,
but he didn't,
so
I did
it.
What? And I know it. I have all the things in front of me.
So at this point, what do you think's going on?
What do you think happened?
I have no idea right now.
Whose body do you think? Even though we told you, whose body do you think they found?
Well, it's the mom, right? Mm. The mom is dead? I have no idea. But why is she sick? Because no one knows. Maybe she's being poisoned?
Ooh. Here we
Could
go.
Could be.
The sad truth of the matter was that Dee Dee had a condition called Munchausen by proxy. Which
Wait, isn't that like
really
a general?
Fascinated. Is it a what? It's a metal band.
Munchausen? Isn't that like a Russian like military dude or something?
Munchausen?
Yeah.
It must have been a doctor that diagnosed this.
So the disease is actually named after Baron Munchausen. Have you guys ever seen that
Baron Munchausen.
Terry Gilliam movie? So the Terry Gilliam movie.
Are you
movie,
being serious right now?
Yes, I'm being 100% serious. Because I it sounds like bullshit. And it should be bullshit because that's silly.
It's Munchausen is the actual, right?
Yeah.
Thing that he
they named
diagnosed.
The disease after a baron?
So who was he? Sorry.
They named the disease after something very specific that the baron was known for because Baron Munchausen was based on an actual historical figure. But I don't recall the rest of the details around that. But the movie's really good if you guys haven't seen it.
It's called
but
what? The, Baron Munchausen?
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Oh, that's a great name.
Yeah, it was one of the early things, earlier things that Terry Gilliam did outside of Monty Python.
Okay.
So Baron Munchausen was really well known for making up fantastical tales and insisting that they were true.
Ah, yes.
Similar to people with Munchausen by proxy.
So Munchausen is when you either you really think or you don't think whatever that you there's something
you think you're sick
wrong
so
with
you. Are.
You.
Well,
and
that would be, what's that called when you constantly
that's
think
hypochondria.
That you're hypochondria. Yeah.
So
no, it's
Munchausen
more like
is
hypochondria, but it's all outward facing to a specific person.
So that's by proxy.
Yeah.
But there's Munchausen for yourself, too. So
oh,
Munchausen by proxy
know.
Is when you do it to someone else.
Makes sense. Now the by proxy part makes sense.
Yeah, should've because it's such a weird name for like
yeah, a I should have thought of that.
Disease. But you can be Munchausen with yourself and be like making yourself sick or whether you really think it or you don't think it, it starts with hypochondria, right? And then you start either getting, you know, sympathy or people start giving you stuff, whatever it is, and you put, you know, meld the two together.
Kind of creates a snowball effect where you stay
right,
sick.
Right, and it's hard to tell with these people if they really do believe it or if they're doing it
I'd be curious
for
to know,
the adoration.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what the differences between Munchausen and hypochondria are. I guess that I would think that
hypochondria is like when you keep going to the doctor, you keep thinking something's wrong with you, but when the doctor says there's not, you're like, oh. I mean, you're more or less like, okay.
I think that's got to be the difference between the yes. two is with hypochondria, you believe it. With Munchausen's,
you're like, no, I know, and I'm going to find somebody to tell me.
Yeah, and
right.
believe me and feel sympathy yes. for me, because that seems to go along with a lot of the cases.
Yes. So now known as fictitious disorder. Is it now known as that?
Yeah, they changed the name.
Okay.
It's kind of dumb.
It was
I like
being
Munchausen
probably
better.
Thrown around too much. The mental illness was originally named after Baron Munchausen, which he said a fictional character known for making up fantastical tales. D.D., had been manipulating Gypsy Rose and everyone else around them since the beginning. The medical issue that had kept her in the hospital throughout her childhood were all Dee Dee's fabrications, every last one of them. She was, by all accounts, a healthy Louisiana kid. But do you know what I mean?
So,
like, healthy-ish
take that as you will.
Enough.
She, realistically, she most likely would have been a perfectly normal, fully developed Louisiana human.
Sure.
If her mother hadn't, been putting her through all these different things because of the Munchausen by proxy.
Right.
Fuck.
And hard to know origins of this, right? Because Dee Dee herself had been abused and gone through horrible stuff and wanted, you know, this bond with her child. And I do know from experience, when your kid is sick...
Oh, God.
That's the sweet.
It feels so good.
That is the good life. They're
yeah.
calm. They're laying on you.
Sleep all the time. You can tell. You can cancel any plans you want to cancel if they're sick.
They're asking for you in this way that's like, I, with my kids, like, I joke about it, but I'm like, I get Munchausen by proxy. Just because when I get it, obviously, I have the thing in me that's like, I don't want them to feel bad. So I want to try and make them feel better, but in those moments when it's like I can help them, their mommy can help me, you know,
oh,
and they're calm,
you feel needed
and
more or something.
Yeah, and it's like an existence that is calm and your purpose is very clearly defined, as opposed to like your kids jumping off the walls and being crazy people and not listening, all of this where you're like, what
shit.
Is my purpose? I'm not fulfilling it clearly.
That makes sense.
That honestly makes so much more sense than the way that it I've been picturing it.
Like,
that's a perfect description.
It's sad. But we're nothing if not honest on this show, right? So I want to let you guys know.
I mean,
there's certain
sounds...
moments where I go, but I would never want to hurt them intentionally.
Sure.
So, well,
you would never
make them sick. I'll hurt them. They'll hurt them if they're fucking doing something wrong.
But you wouldn't, like...
I wouldn't intentionally ever...
Yeah, like, consciously hurt them so your life is easier.
No.
Yeah.
But, of course I wouldn't. But because I do this show, because my mind is true crime, I go... Like, there was a moment where I'm like, oh, this is why. Like, I get how if someone's super fucked up,
could go down the path,
giving themselves this purpose that is clearly defined and is just a singular thing makes sense. And that's horrible to say. And don't clip that. Don't clip it.
No, it makes sense to me, too, honestly. Like that, like, oh, okay, I could see how somebody would end up doing that.
And you don't know what the origins are, but it snowballed.
Yeah.
Because of whatever reason, and maybe did turn into on purpose sinister, and I think did, right? But in the beginning, it may have started out as just like, I don't know.
Feels good to be needed.
Feels good to be needed, and it's easier to take care of someone when they're sick and can't run around.
And they're also not jumping off the goddamn walls all the time.
Seriously.
I get it.
Red dye fucking number 7 or whatever and just it's like heroin to those. Not heroin. The opposite. Meth.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Wish it was heroin.
Yeah, exactly. What's the dye that's heroin? Can we give them that? Can we give them that candy?
I think it's a specific shade of green called opium, I think.
Yeah, but it has to be like, you know, FDA approved in a candy or something. You know what I'm saying? Gypsy had never needed to use a walker as a child. Dee Dee had convinced her young daughter that she had muscular dystrophy and forced her to use the walker despite the fact that Gypsy had no trouble walking. The wheelchair was also a result of Dee Dee's mental disorder. When Gypsy and her grandfather had gotten in the motorcycle accident, she had only gotten a scrape on her leg. It was Dee Dee who had insisted that Gypsy stay in the wheelchair. The feeding tube, countless medications, and hospital visits were all a part of Dee Dee's scheme to get attention and charitable donations. Dee Dee had piled the bullshit so high that Gypsy didn't even know her real age. At some point, her mother had forged her birth certificate to make Gypsy younger than she actually was. All this was so Dee Dee could get secondhand sympathy from kind strangers who took pity on Gypsy Rose and then ergo pity on Dee Dee, which is what she wanted and lacked, obviously, growing up with her fucked up dad, right?
Yeah, reading about this has made me a lot more curious about what her childhood was like. And I mean, if her dad
sounds
was,
like it's awful.
Yes, it was awful. It manifested in this horrible way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, overall, I just think it's interesting to, well, not interesting, but I'm curious to know, like, did her mom have anything like that? Did her mom do anything like that? Obviously, her dad was a raging piece of shit. But I couldn't really find much about...
I heard, a little bit her mom was like that.
Her mom should be stabbed in the neck with a knife.
Which one?
Well, oh boy. I got good news for you.
Interesting.
She already did.
Interesting.
Oh, good.
The other thing I want to say about this is that there was only one doctor in this entire going to all the different doctors and getting the thing that, like, raised concern. So, like, you know, she would say test for muscular dystrophy. For example, one of the doctors she would test said test for muscular dystrophy. They tested. They found nothing. Dee Dee was like, you don't know what you're talking about, berated them, whatever. And you need to, like, you know, go back to whatever it is. And the doctor, thankfully, was just like, no, we're not doing what you want us to, whatever operation, whatever medication, we're not doing it.
Out of all
she went
the times.
To a different doctor. They did. So doctor shopping is usually for what we do it, well, drugs.
I mean, that I can understand.
Doctor shopping in her case was
looking
just
for the
going,
shady doctors.
Going from doctor to doctor to doctor until she found one that would just take her word for it. The big thing about Munchausen by proxy is I know from going to doctors with kids, like, you tell them how it is at home. Like, it's all your word. Mm-hmm. Up until, you know, 13, 12, 13, like, you say, this is what's happening at home, and this is what you need to test for, and this is what we need medication for, and the doctors will do it.
Yeah.
Because they can't speak for themselves, and if they do, they don't really know, and whatever. So she is
God
able
damn.
To, up until a certain point, just tell the doctors, this is, she can't
this
sleep,
is what's wrong.
She's waking
this is
up, you know,
need.
She can't the walk. Fuck. And they're like, oh my God, she can't walk, okay, you know.
And out of all those doctors, only one of them.
There's only one.
There's only one
flags.
That raised the like any kind of concern, and they would like refuse service or be like, we're not doing this, but they wouldn't raise a flag of like, this person may have maybe
this bitch is torturing her.
But
daughter.
This was early days, dude. This was early days, right?
Yeah.
When is this? 2007, 2008.
Yeah, somewhere
nobody's
between 2005
really talking
and 2010.
About Munchausen by proxy in the way that they are now. But.
Except for Eminem. He rapped about it.
Did he?
Yeah, he had one rap that I'm sure you know what it is.
He is
victim
such
of Munchausen syndrome. I don't know, it's in one of his songs.
He's
that's
such
one
a revolutionary.
Big Eminem fan, huh?
Oh, no. It may come as a that. Surprise to you. I'm not a big fan of hip hop. I know looking at me, it looks like I probably am, but don't
I'm
listen
not...
to it all that often.
That much either, but Eminem.
Oh no, he's good.
Because he's not hip hop, is he?
We already discussed my favorite kind of music right before the show.
We did.
And it's
dad
rock.
Well, and everybody's dad rock is different.
Well, Eminem True. Is dad rap. So,
so my dad rock, my dad True. Rock is Bob Dylan and Bob Marley, the Bobs.
That makes sense.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your dad rock is like stadium power ballad. Right?
The Outfield,
yes.
Journey,
yes.
Asia. I mean, yeah, Fleetwood Mac to a certain degree, but doesn't really count.
So my
Doobie
dad
Brothers.
Smoked Coldplay. Weed. My dad smoked weed and yours did fucking coke. It's okay. Do you know what I mean? It's like everybody's dad rock is different, huh?
Yeah.
What's your dad?
My
what,
dad
what did your dad rock to, like, when in the garage?
Ooh,
when
I know
you
the
were
answer
kid?
My dad
one.
Was Devo, The Smiths.
Oh, whoops.
Joy Division. Shit
no,
like
he wasn't.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? That's like some of the most respectable music choices you could get from anybody's
he was,
father.
What drug is that? Glue?
He was listening to
no
Devo
idea.
In 1979, and no, everyone else was listening to what the shit you guys were saying, and he was like, no, this is the good shit. And no one liked it but him and his homies.
So leave the camera on you. This makes so much sense. Do you know what I mean? Your whole shit just got explained.
But my dad and I have good taste in music and you guys don't.
It's this idea of like, dude, no. Like you this is fucking cool. You don't know what's cool. Ergo, it ends up being cool.
I know, and that's the shitty thing about it. Just being born Ugh. Cool, how the fuck does that happen?
You know those people that say that they had the studded belt before everybody else? Joel did.
Joel was
the first person ever
I was
I
there
to
have
my
put
belt
studs on a belt.
Since I was 13, I had the same belt.
And
still
he still has it.
Yeah, still wear it.
You are a fucking unicorn.
I'm just a dummy.
And see, just downplaying it like it's no big
Which
deal.
Which is so cool, dude.
You
All right, anyway.
I feel like there's something wrong because you're being nice to me for the first time.
No, because we cyberbullied you so much in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I do still think it's cyberbully.
I mean,
we're doing it on the internet.
We are talking through microphones, so
yeah, like it's cyberbully.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going through his headphones, like he could just take them off.
But you see how well it's working? We can give him compliments,
so you can bring me down.
And he feels like something's wrong.
I know.
That's how bad it is.
But we're actually being serious. But we're actually being serious.
No,
I am.
Yeah, no, that I was being honest.
100%. Okay. Enough of that fucking bullshit.
Yeah, enough of that gay shit.
This made
it makes
me
him uncomfortable,
so uncomfortable
anyway.
Yeah,
he's more comfortable being cyberbullied.
Made me uncomfortable being nice
to
him.
I know, I know.
Don't do it again.
No problem. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
In public, Dee Dee's insistence on constantly being by her daughter's side and holding her hand gave the appearance of her being a caring mother. In reality, anytime Gypsy would say or do anything that might make people suspicious, Dee Dee would painfully squeeze her hand to prevent her from revealing the truth. In private, Dee Dee was physically, verbally, and emotionally abusive to Gypsy.
This was later on, too. The, like, abusive part of it.
Once she got old enough to start thinking for herself.
Once she started not wanting to do this stuff is when she was abusive. Before that,
everything was just
the reason why
obviously.
It got to this. Yeah, the reason why it got to this point is because it was like, skip the drama, stick with mama, you know?
Hey, that's been my motto since I was a kid.
That's a good title name.
That is.
You're fucking A right, dude.
Yeah, that's a good rhyme. Are you sure you're not into hip hop? Because
no, I watch. It's from Tangled on Disney.
Oh.
Which, by the way, this is like a fucked up version of Tangled.
Oh, shit. The evil witch in the tower.
Yep.
Keeping her inside, telling her.
But like the girl is like, this is my mom. Like, this is all I've known.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know that this isn't my mom. And she says she loves me. So it's a Stockholm syndrome / like
what
kids.
What is Tangled? Is that Rapunzel?
It's basically Rapunzel, but more fun and flirty. Because Rapunzel, the story, fucked up.
All of the old fairy tales are.
I know.
If they kept
that.
The original endings of all the old fairy tales, they would be like Saw films.
Do you have, this is what I want.
That's how you learn.
This is what we need to get for a coup for some kind of, you know, birthday, Christmas, something. Do you have like the original, like Grimm's or whatever book of all the fucked up? Wouldn't that be sweet?
I always have to look them up online. I used to have one that had some of the original fairy tales when I was a little kid.
Right.
But yeah, haven't had them in years, and I fucking love the original fairy tales. Because
Ruben's
they are
gonna
so
buy it for you.
Dark.
Okay,
Ruben, please send it.
We don't have money, but Ruben, Ruben, could you buy that for him anyway?
Nerd shit.
That would be fucking badass, though. Oh, like the old version, like the creepy looking book of all the like actual fairy tales, the way they were supposed to be.
And if you he could
Pied
read them.
Piper and shit.
What if you read them on the mic, too? That could be, like, something people would listen to.
Ooh, bonus episodes. I'd do that for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Ruben. No, just kidding. Like, we're not going to spend any money on this, but Ruben, can you?
In the original Little Mermaid, like, anytime she was walking on land, it felt like she was stepping on broken glass, and at the end she dies and turns into sea foam. Like, I fucking dare Disney to do something that ballsy.
It's connecting because there's murder in those. So technically, they are crimes.
Oh, it's all creepy crimes in the way that we do this show as like a cautionary tale to people. Keep your head on a swivel.
That's
keep your eyes open. Don't think that everyone's fucking sweet. That's what the whole idea of fairy tales is, to basically be like, hey, kids.
Learn this lesson.
Learn this lesson the hard way.
And it's surprising with the amount of fairy tales, like fucked up fairy tales that came out of Germany, that anyone would still trust the Germans.
It's true.
Like, I kind of think
here
that
we go, right to fuck it. Go, it, just say his name.
Okay.
Just say it.
Nope,
so just
nope,
say your not, dude. Say your dude.
You guys, it's not going to stop me from going on the same rant after the show anyway. So.
Yeah, it's true. He does it in private. When the camera's cut, he just...
Well, I go and do my separate YouTube channel where I, you know, rail about being red-pilled and in the deep state.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most shocking facts about this case is that Gypsy herself had suspected for years that something wasn't right. She knew she could walk just fine. She knew she didn't need a feeding tube. She also knew that she wasn't losing her hair from medications. Dee Dee would shave Gypsy's head to give her the appearance of a cancer patient.
Fuck.
And she would tell Gypsy that the reason she was shaving her head was, oh, the medication's going to make all your hair fall out anyway. You might as well get used to it now, and it'll look better overall.
Yeah.
Obviously, total bullshit.
And I think Gypsy caught on because one time she, like, forgot to shave it, and it was growing in just, like, thick and, you know,
what the
luscious.
And yeah, how do you explain that away?
This is awful.
This
is worse than Girl.
You know what, though?
I will say
it was good to refresh on this case because of recent stuff that I'm like, oh, yeah. Do you know what I mean? because of all the hype. We don't want to give it away. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
She is, Gypsy Rose is a really, really sympathetic character.
Yeah, and you forget unless you really dive back into the case. Because you go like, oh, yeah, that was bad. But like when you really get into it.
And think about how that would be.
Thoughts at the end.
Yeah, going through that throughout your entire life at the hands of your own mother. And she's a sympathetic character, that's for sure. The insane house of cards Dee Dee had built began to crumble when Gypsy became a teenager. Starting in 2001, the two of them began attending science fiction conventions, which Gypsy loved because it gave her the opportunity to dress up in costumes that hid her alleged conditions. The conventions gave her a sense of freedom she had never experienced before and left her yearning for connections with people aside from her mother.
Eventually, Gypsy turned to the internet.
Oh, shit.
Thank the Lord. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Only this and our show. Everything else on the internet is fucking...
Well, if you listen to the last episode, you know why.
I was about to say, and she started talking to some guy named Marine Sniper.
Yeah, exactly. And all was well. Online, she was able to interact with other people her age without the overbearing meddling of her mother. At one point, she planned an escape and was almost successful. While attending a convention in 2011, Gypsy was able to sneak away from her mother, only to be caught later in a hotel room with a man she asked to help her get away from her kidnapper. So her mom went somewhere in the convention. She rolled up to this dude and was like, I can't explain, but I need help. I've been kidnapped. Like, I need you to get me out of here. This nice dude.
So she's afraid of her fucking mom.
Took her up to the hotel room. Once she got up there, she didn't end up saying anything about what was going on. She just started being like, how was the convention? Like, it was nice. And just like talking normally to this dude. She got caught because Dee Dee comes up and just starts banging on the door and then is, tells the guy that she's going to turn him in for, you know, he's in a room with a 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old girl or whatever. And he's like, oh, fuck. I mean, anything that I was like heroically trying to do, this is too much for me. It's shitty, but it's like, hey, man, I can't get fucking involved.
That's like one of the few cases where some random guy takes an underage girl to a hotel room and he's the one that's more nervous.
He's the one that's actually doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And the mom coming up is the one that's the abuser. It's fucking crazy.
He's like, sorry, let me put my clothes back on and I'll get out of here.
No, he was like really going
to. Totally misread the situation.
They didn't get to the point of calling the police because she just ended up just like talking to him about the convention. And then he's like, think about how he felt.
That would be so, it would just be so fucking weird.
What the fuck is going on? Then when the mom comes, because she didn't actually say anything in the room, he's like, all right, maybe this is fucking something weirder than I can do, right? So, but obviously her mom at this point, really, really mad, smashes Gypsy's computer with the hammer. Gypsy was, and beats her. You know, at this point, we've gotten to the place where if she gets caught trying to escape or doing things that she shouldn't do or exposing them both in any way, Dee Dee, the mom, is really abusive, physically verbally, like scary to where you go, okay, this person is now being held against her will because she kind of feels like something's wrong, but her mom is, can't say kidnapping, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
essentially holding her hostage.
Holding her hostage.
Yeah.
God damn.
So, she smashed the computer with a hammer. Gypsy was undeterred and continued to use the internet kind of when she could or when she knew mom was asleep or whatever it is. And it was there that she met Nicholas Godejohn. Nicholas was a young man from Big Bend, Wisconsin. A little bit better, huh?
Yeah.
You're at least...
A little bit.
Getting out of, you're going from Louisiana to Missouri, and then Big Ben, Wisconsin? I don't know.
His name's Goda John?
That's the part that you keyed in on?
Does it make you want to?
Goda John?
Oh, come on. Those are my kind of jokes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Leave the dad jokes to me.
Did I steal it from
you? Oh, no. I wasn't even thinking of
that. Oh, okay.
I should have, though.
You would have thought of something. You would have thought.
I've never heard Jesse do an Aaron Neville impersonation before. It was great.
Oh, I haven't heard the name Aaron Neville in years.
You guys really got to start listening to the playlist that I listened to on the way over to the studio.
No,
Joel's so annoyed right now. Okay. Nicholas was a young man from Big Bend, Wisconsin, and had his own plethora of issues, along with being autistic and struggling with borderline personality disorder. Nicholas also had a criminal record for indecent exposure.
Oh, great.
But he was closer to her age. Now,
yeah,
do we say here that she... When her mom is telling her that she's 14, she's actually 18.
Yeah,
when her mom is telling her that she's 15, she's actually 21. So they may have been close in age.
Yeah, they were roughly around the same age chronologically.
Yes. Nicholas also had a criminal record for indecent exposure. Long story short, he wasn't exactly the type of guy you would want to bring home to your mother unless your mother... was Dee Blanchard.
Bingo.
Over the next few years, Gypsy and Nicholas secretly continued their internet relationship. As it grew more serious, they began making plans to run away together and get married. This was a secret she confided in her neighbor. 23-year-old, oh my God. I think I need
drink
more.
Drink some more crime juice.
Because it's like, you get like this in between, and then if you... cross over to drunk, then you can, like, you know what I mean?
The in between part.
It's
well,
that
in
between.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're playing pool and it's like, I can have
flow.
Two
yeah.
or nine, but you can't five. I'm shitty.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Not going to work. Joel and I have talked about this a lot. There's a very specific level of drunk that you can get to where you're just better at everything.
Yeah. There's the right buzz that makes you succeed in anything you try.
I mean,
to
driving for sure, huh?
Yeah, well...
Me?
Not you.
What do you mean, not me? I only have three, and I do it every night.
You only have...
Just kidding.
You only have three what? DUIs?
DUIs. And I'm driven drunk, you know what I mean? Let's do percentage.
All right, but how many families have you wiped out so far?
None.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So
maybe I am
side.
Good at it, and maybe the cops are... They need a quota. Just kidding.
I never got caught.
You don't fucking drive, bro.
I drive less.
Did you ever?
Not drunk.
Let's be fucking real. Did
I
people drive?
Really?
I feel like I remember, Coop, let's talk. I feel like I remember you were in the passenger or back seat of a lot of the cars that.
I drove every day, all the time, but I had some weird shit when I was
out.
In my 20s. I never drove drunk. It was like this weird. Important thing.
Okay, this is
now
blowing,
that I'm 40, I drive drunk all the time.
This is absolutely blowing my mind because all of the scariest experiences that I've ever had in a car have been with Joel when him and I were in our early 20s. And you're telling me you weren't drunk for any of those?
I wasn't the one driving. You were driving.
No, the times that you were... Oh, I know it's scary when I drive. Cause it's not because I'm drunk. It's because I drive
you're
like an old Asian
woman.
You're sober
driving. It's scary.
It's sober
oh, yeah.
Driving,
I used to love to drive fast, but I would only do it sober so I could drive fast and not kill us.
Okay.
God damn it. You're nerd being that responsible? I thought you were
I don't
cool.
know why I was like that. Yeah. I'm not that way now. I drive drunk now.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't.
I don't drive that much.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really. That's true.
So out of all of us, Joel in some respects has been the smartest.
Yeah.
Because a DUI can fucking change the course of your life.
I haven't gotten one, but
and that's a fucking miracle to
there's
be honest.
A smart
we don't have to talk about that.
anyways, so
my boy, dude.
I'm a safe driver.
This dude could drive fucking shit faced and drive right down the road. It's the best.
You drive like an old woman all the time and you never have to worry about it.
Yeah, driving sober with him is a fucking nightmare. He's so he's like nervous and drives slow. Can't even like.
I know, but I never did coke.
Maybe
so
that helps.
I was just like blackout end of the night, no coke to fucking. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Both of you are smarter. Both of you are smarter in different ways. You knew when to take the bump to fucking get home. And you just knew whose car to fucking jump in the back seat or passenger.
Oh, yeah.
Did we really think of that through that? Like, think it through that
it
much?
Just natural.
It's not thinking it through.
It's called natural talent.
Acting on instinct.
Yeah. It's called good instincts.
Some of us have talent.
Jesse doesn't really.
Some of us have talent, and some of us spent some time in jail. You know what I mean? So. And I like to say, you know, I have talent in other ways. Like, we can't all, you know what I mean?
We can't all have. Things we're good
yeah,
at.
Yeah.
We can't all have our things. We can't all have everything.
That's why we're a good team. We all help each other out with our specific talents.
We're all good at different things and we're bad at different things. And that's why we fit together.
And when we're all together,
you
we're
love
unstoppable.
That. You love that, Coop. It's
I
true.
Do. No, I honestly do.
Because it's true.
That's why I keep coming back every week. I love coming to hang out with you guys.
It's the only reason why any of us are still alive.
It's so true.
It's we were on our own, we'd all be
dead. Because we were like...
pretty fucking surprising.
Kind of together through all of it. Anyway. So, 23-year-old Aaliyah Woodmansey?
Woodmansey.
Okay. Who looked at Gypsy as a younger sister. This is the neighbor that she started kind of talking to. I heard they talked online. Too,
yeah, she somehow got
she couldn't come over or whatever, so it's the neighbor, but she was still,
yeah, it makes sense because she somehow had printouts of conversations
yes.
and stuff
yeah.
like that.
So little did they know they were actually the same age at the time. So Aaliyah is thinking of her as a younger sister, but because of the mom changing the age, she was actually talking to someone that was her same age, thinking Gypsy was younger than she was. So Aaliyah warned Gypsy that Nicholas might be a predator and urged her to break ties with him. But Gypsy was young and in love. And mentally, she was, right? Nothing was going to stop her from being with Nicholas, not even Dee Dee. So if you think yeah. about this relationship, it's the first. It's the first time she's even realizing that there's an outside world. There's all these things that are going on that it's literally just like the most, if you guys can remember, the most like amazing. You would literally do anything.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's what she needed to get out
yeah,
of there.
That's for
though.
Damn sure.
You're right.
Well, it's like the Amish going through Rumspringa. They go through all those what? Years of being Rumspringa.
Yeah.
They've all got this period that they go through where they're able to go out and hang out with what they call the worldly people. And they can just do whatever the fuck they want for, how long is it, like a year?
Yeah.
6 months or something like that. And they just go out and party their asses off. And if at the end of that they decide that's what they want to keep doing.
They keep doing it?
Then they can keep doing it.
But
or
if
they
decide to
they
come back?
That's does anybody come back?
They do, yeah.
You would think no, but the majority of them do.
Oh, dude. I mean, when you get out there in the fucking world... And all you've known is, like, safe community, and it's, like, you know, everything works, and every, you know, you go, all right, the world is insane. Or you go, I love this, I'm doing it. I always thought marriage should have a Rumspringa. You don't think so. You're very new.
True.
Yeah.
Very
give,
new.
Give it 18 years. In 2015, Gypsy and Nicholas finally planned a trip for him to meet her in person. Dee Dee would obviously not allow her to let some boy fly from a different state to see her, so they concocted a plan for them to meet by chance at a movie theater, which is
pretty
smart,
brilliant.
Just because it, from what I understand from reading about it, it sounded like the way they set it up is they were just going to bump into each other at,
yep.
at the theater, kind of hit it off, and then...
So he's dressed as... They're going to see some Disney movie or something. He's dressed as Prince Charming.
No fucking way.
And she's dressed as Cinderella.
Hell yeah.
And so that's how they were... It's almost like I'm holding a red rose kind of thing. So that's how they were going to know that's who it was. And then the chance encounter makes more sense because then you go... oh my gosh, there's another person dressed up. And the mom's like, oh my gosh. And then.
Is there anybody in this room that would see that situation play out and not immediately call like, oh, that's bullshit. How do you know this guy?
I'd be like in a normal situation, the mom is not, but I would be like, oh my God, two weirdos. You know, like yeah. You both wanted to dress up. If she wanted to, there must be some other weirdo that wants to.
It's like watching Autism on the Spectrum.
Yes.
You're like, oh, I'm so glad they found each other.
Oh my gosh.
Like Tom and Mary, if they fell in love from the last episode.
Yes.
True.
Where it's like
two weirdos that
found each other.
Yeah.
And look, they're Comic-Con families, right? So it's not weird to be like, I'm going to a Disney movie dressed up as Cinderella.
It's kind of weird.
It is weird, but in Comic-Con world, by the way, it's not.
Yeah, it's not. I'd still disown my child if they did that kind of shit.
I dressed up to go see
Star Wars. She wishes that Dee Dee would disown her. You would what?
I dressed up when Star Wars came out, the prequels.
Oh.
I was in high school. I dressed up as Darth Maul and went and saw the first one.
Really?
I was so excited. Yeah.
I always thought that I was the bigger nerd out of the two of us.
That was my nerd phase.
Oh, you got out of it early.
Well, because the movie sucked. I was like, I can't believe I did this.
You felt
and then
shame.
I started listening to metal after that.
Same thing happened to me at Barbie.
Wait, Barbie just...
You dressed up for Barbie?
Never dressed up for anything ever. Except for I did want to go to Cats, dressed as a cat.
That would be cool. Wait,
and get
everybody
a bunch of people
dressed up for fucking Barbie.
Barbie.
I forgot about that.
And I
that.
Didn't dress
everybody.
Up. I wore all pink with like the
yeah,
other
that's what
moms,
everybody
you know.
Wore pink.
And I was
it.
Like, thought the same thing. I go, God damn, I fucking
blew it.
This is the one thing I dress up for. You know what I mean? I wish it was Joker or something.
Oh, God, then you're going to shoot up a movie theater.
No, it would have been worse. At least you just wore pink and you felt
exactly.
bad enough to get out of there.
Yeah, and it's like everyone else was too, and it's just, you know, girl power.
I haven't seen the movie, but...
You guys know I love girl power.
Jesus. Only, like, the only woman that hates women more than men is Jessie.
I don't hate women. I'm just not... I'm not going to... like you just because you're a woman. You've got to be fucking cool. You've got to be a... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This idea that like...
Just because you have a wizard
just
sleeve.
Just because you're a woman, I'm going to fucking like you. Tell me. You have a wizard sleeve. You've got a fucking prolapse. Like, what do you have? Sorry, no. No, it's not over. It's not over. But tell me something that is important, like amazing about you. And not your sexual orientation.
Not your
and
genitalia.
Not your disorders, your anxiety, or whatever. Tell
We've
me something that makes me be like, yeah, that person is fucking badass.
This
and
is somebody that I can
anybody.
Relate to.
That's what?
Like the,
someone
the,
else
the,
that's badass like
the
you.
The kind of thing that makes you think like, okay, this is somebody that I can relate to. This is somebody that I can be,
not
you
know, even relate,
cool
like, a success. Like, if someone is actually like
someone
a fucking
valuable.
Badass, successful woman, I'm like, fuck yeah, but just because you're a woman... that left your house and went somewhere.
That's why all your friends are
what
men.
I'm supposed to fucking... You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, I support people that are accomplished, successful, cool, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but
and
I'm
it
not
just happens
just
that
going,
it's all men that are that way and not women.
I didn't say it. I didn't say that, and I actually wouldn't say that.
I didn't say it either, but... We're all thinking it's, it.
That should have been something Coop would have said.
I'm a girl's girl.
I know.
I'm a girl's
I'm fucking
girl.
Blown away that you two right now are
Listen,
the ones
I'm
that
I'm a girl's girl in that, like, I would love, like, every time I'm hoping that it's a woman, right?
But
I'm not
is.
Going to, I'm not going to this idea that, like, just because it's a woman, we're stoked.
That's a realistic way to look at it because, I mean,
that's
it'd be
it.
The same thing with like going up to a guy and being like, oh, you know, you're a guy, so that means you're cool. Which, I mean, 90% of the time they probably are.
No, look.
Because they're guys, but.
Sure.
There's
you guys
that 10%
are taking it too far.
That you
yeah,
can't
yeah, yeah.
trust.
But yes, that's the kind of a girl power I am.
It's my favorite. That's why I work for you.
You just
you're
have
the
to
shit.
Be girl power. Just be powerful. I'm not going to be girl power because you fucking talked about your depression. Well, it's an, and it's a woman. It's the first woman.
And
it's always going to be the first woman because none of us have fucking done shit.
This episode
okay,
is
I went too far.
It's,
I went
it's
too far.
Such a perfect encapsulation of why the three of us are friends.
I know. Don't cut that. Don't cut it. Okay, go.
So apparently they met up dressed as Prince Charming and,
right.
Cinderella.
Cinderella. So Fitting. That way her mother wouldn't learn that they had been communicating behind her back for years. The plan was a success, and the lovebirds snuck off into the bathroom together where they had...
Not,
well, I guess so.
They hooked up.
They hooked up.
No, they hooked up. They made out. They kind of.
How are you 69 with a girl in a wheelchair?
Was she still in a wheelchair?
Look it up. If you can think it.
It's on there.
It's on there.
On
it's probably easier.
Yeah.
Just lay the wheelchair down.
Oh,
well,
her
you
on
just,
the bottom.
You use the hand.
Yeah, you do a handstand.
No, you have like what? The arms, right?
No, see, that's what I was thinking. You do a handstand with your shoulders like on her thighs while she's
yes.
sitting in the chair.
Yes.
I mean, that takes some acrobatics, though. I don't
some
think I could pull that
strength.
Off.
So they hooked up. They canoodled in the bathroom.
Following this first magical encounter, Gypsy and Nicholas were completely smitten with one another. They had to find a way to be together, but they both knew that Dee Dee would never allow it.
Take her
out. At
least
not while she was still alive.
They're going to take her out. They're going to take her out, aren't they?
Well, the...
Do you think she's going to die?
Well, I know the mom dies. They're going to do it.
On June 10th, 2015...
Joel, you're getting there, bud. You're getting there.
I'm fucking stoked about this now. Let's go!
See, now we're fucking good.
It's another one of those cases where it's like, all right, murder's bad, but...
You got to have the tragedy.
It's cool, heroic killer guy stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit more romantic than than anything
she
else.
She had to find a dirtbag to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Glad she found him.
Every woman needs to find a dirtbag to get the job done.
That's right.
Girl power.
Joel. That's how you got your wife. After Dee Dee fell asleep, he met Gypsy at her house, where she gave him a roll of duct tape, a pair of gloves, and a knife. Gypsy... Okay, honestly, this part really bothered me, imagining, like, what Gypsy was doing at the time.
Yeah, this is really hard. So they were, first of all, on the internet going back and forth, and kind of she was, you know, getting caught and whatever, and she just was not deterred and just kept kind of telling him what she was going through, and finally was just like, what would you do? And he's like, well, you know, I could, if I need to kill her, I'll kill her. He said, I think it's, quote, I will do whatever, I will kill her if that's what it takes to keep you safe.
Fuck yeah, I love this guy.
Damn, he followed through. Gypsy hid in the bathroom and covered her ears while Nicholas stabbed her mother to death in the next room.
Holy shit!
See, that is a dark fucking transition right there.
It really is. Dude. So she's in the bathroom. She's going between wanting to save her mom and then wanting to be free and hearing the screams muffled.
Damn, he did it. He fucking did it.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
he did what he
did
had
it,
to do. He took like a greyhound, right?
Yeah.
While Gypsy and Dee Dee were doing something. He
they were at
he
a doctor's appointment for
doctor's
the day,
appointment. He's on the Greyhound coming there.
God damn.
Staying somewhere, waiting for the fucking call that it's time to come over.
All right, on a certain level, that is pretty fucking impressive.
I know.
I mean, not
that takes balls,
not respectable,
steel,
not moral, but god damn, that's some follow through right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
I think it is moral.
In the situation,
take a life to save a life.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dee Dee.
I don't think I would have killed her.
Would have ruined the rest
of
her life.
Save a life.
But
I think I would have just like whooped her ass a bit and threatened the shit out of her and like been like, "I'll kill you. We're leaving." And got out of there.
No, I think she made it clear that she had tried many times to get away, and it did not work. It only made it worse for her. So like, honestly, she was just telling him all the things that were happening of like. Tried to have some guy save me. She, you know, she found my computer, beat me, you know.
Fuck. Yeah.
And considering how long she's been going through this and knowing what we know about Dee Dee, Dee Dee is still her legal guardian.
It's her mom. And it's everything.
Still her mom also, which is...
It's also everything she's known.
Yeah.
So she's kind of grappling with, like, am I...
And now your boy...
Am I crazy? Or is she right? Am I sick? Whatever. So, like, she, at this point, thinks that she's this sick. And how is she going to survive?
Yeah, she's dealing with
without
that
her mom.
Yeah.
So it's like she needs someone to do the feeding tube and the wheelchair and the thing. And so she also doesn't know how she would survive outside.
And it probably also felt really good in her position, knowing that regardless of all of her medical conditions, there was this one guy that was willing to do so much for her.
Right.
And even be like, he was willing to be there for her after her mom was gone. So nobody else was there to take care of her.
Right.
He was going to take over for that. I mean, overall, it's a pretty big fucking deal
and
if you think about it from her perspective.
He would have.
Anyway. He probably would have.
I know.
What
so,
do you mean?
I mean, he would have flashed his junk at some kids or something like that.
Oh, so anyways. We're going
ahead.
Yeah,
what do you...
Sorry.
So after the grisly deed was done, Nicholas and Dee Dee somehow managed to get horny enough to have sex before stealing all the money in the house and fleeing together.
So this is finally, this is the first time that they're having
Imagine that is your first time.
Incredible.
Well,
I think mine was a little bit more traumatic, but I mean, imagine that is your first time. That's
well,
like
I will know if you want
least.
Some, if you want a guy to do something.
That's the time.
Hold out until it's done.
But now her lover's a murderer. That must be weird too.
Or is it hot?
I don't know. Is it in her mind? Is it murderer or is he just saved her? I don't know.
I think that
the levels
that
of...
question's still kind of open. Is it murder? Is it, you know, doing something in defense of somebody else?
The magical word that doesn't exist that I was trying to say.
Super cool heroic killer guy.
Yeah. Cool heroic killer guy. No hyphens, all one word.
Instead of murderer.
Yeah. Nicholas and Gypsy hid out in a hotel for a few days before taking a bus to Wisconsin. The pair thought they had succeeded in getting away with murder, but suspicions had already been aroused by strange posts they had made on Dee Dee's Facebook page. Possibly thinking it would throw off investigators, Gypsy logged into her mother's account and wrote,
"The bitch is dead."
And this naturally caused friends and neighbors to become concerned. Gypsy followed up that initial post with another one that read,
"I fucking slashed that fat pig and raped her sweet, innocent daughter. Her scream was so fucking loud, LOL."
The fuck?
So listen, what I read is that she was worried that her mom's body wasn't going to be found because they had been so isolated. Because this kind of Munchausen, whatever, it makes it so like you don't hang out with people. And no one, she's checking the news outlets and no one's finding her. And she's like, fuck, my mom. You know, she's going back and forth still, like...
That's a good thing. What the fuck? Let her rot in there.
Yeah, but she... Again, we have to go into her psyche of, like, this is all she's ever known. She's starting to miss her mom. Her, like, no one's going to find her. Her mom's body's decaying there. And so she got... I've heard that she got on here to kind of tip people off to just go check.
Fuck.
Police were notified, and upon searching the house, they discovered Dee Dee's body. Upon hearing that Gypsy was missing and her allegedly life-saving medical equipment had been left behind, friends and family assumed the worst. A crowdfunding campaign was set up to pay for Dee Dee's funeral expenses and possibly Gypsy's as well. So when they found Dee Dee's body and all of Gypsy's stuff, the neighbors were like, this girl cannot survive without all this stuff. Yeah. Somebody took her and she's got to be dead somewhere because from everything we've known,
she's sick as hell.
She's super sick and there's no way.
Well, and at this point, she's still being fed through a feeding tube. She's got an oxygen tank that her mom carries around for all the time. She's got the wheelchair, all of her medication.
So
and
neighbors
like that.
Just think of them as it's sickly person.
Yeah, like it's essentially a death sentence.
Yeah. So Gypsy's neighbor, Aaliyah, that we were talking about, that would talk to her online, very quickly suspected the murder had something to do with Nicholas Godejohn because Gypsy had talked to her about this new guy she was dating. And Aaliyah was like, I don't know, this guy sounds weird. After all, the murder had occurred not long after Gypsy had begun telling Aaliyah about him. So it was the only lead they needed to close the case. Investigators tracked the IP address for Nicholas's computer to Wisconsin. Waukesha County Police raided his home, where they found both Nicholas and Gypsy. After being arrested, the lid was blown off the story and all of Dee Dee's lies were brought to light. Friends and family back in their hometown were simultaneously relieved that Gypsy was safe and horrified by the details of the case. Now, the detective that fucking got this case.
God damn.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, what the fuck?
Do you know if he had a cool name?
Yeah, we haven't had a good detective in years.
I know.
No Biddles and Watts. Nicholas Godejohn was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison, plus an additional 25 years for armed criminal action.
Fuck.
Gypsy Rose pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 10 years in prison for her part in the death of her mother. And while in prison, Gypsy once again found love on the internet. Not once, but twice. But I do think it's good that...
Wait, she moved on to someone else?
Well, she's not going to date some loser in prison.
She wouldn't date a murderer.
Yeah, that's disgusting. No, she did. She had two separate relationships. The first one, all through letters, obviously. The first one was with some guy named Ken, and I couldn't find a last name for him. Got bored of him after a little while, and then met the love of her life. Well, kind of the love of her life. She formed a relationship with a teacher from Louisiana named Ryan Anderson, and the couple were married in a prison ceremony in July of 2022. Unsurprisingly, no guests were present at the time.
Can I play really quick the videos that Gypsy took one day after the murder?
Oh, yeah.
What?
With Nicholas. So they're in a Days Inn hotel. In this video, Nicholas is naked. Gypsy is filming.
Hi, honey. I'm filming it.
Holy shit.
That's how she sounds if you didn't know.
I had heard her talk before, but I'd never listened to that video.
What the fuck?
That's a 25-year-old woman.
Yeah.
That her mom just got murdered. Now, I hear the, you know...
I hear the
different... the back and forth in this case. Like, even I, when, you know, anyway.
She's fucked up.
So let's see. In December of 2023.
Him?
He's fucked up.
He's fucked up.
That'd be like hooking up with a girl with Down syndrome.
But he's also really fucked up, too. Like, he has...
some mental problems.
He has issues. Yes, he's autistic. He's on the spectrum. He's...
yeah.
You know, borderline personality. He's exposing himself to people. I mean, he's...
eyes are on the side of his head.
He has a flat, the back of his head in this video. He's like, so flat. So, like, he has one of those heads that, like... do you know what I mean?
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay, I have no idea whether or not this is true, but when I was in basic training, I had a drill sergeant who had a completely flat back of the head. And at one point, there was a group of guys in my platoon that were saying, like, well, you know why he's such an asshole, right? Look at the back of his head. His mother never picked him up when he was a child. He spent so much time in his crib that he just never learned to love anybody. And completely flat, like from the neck to the top of his head, completely flat.
So we've heard. So we've heard.
It's
not
suck.
Completely untrue.
I don't think it is.
The fuck?
But there's ways to correct it now, where like the doctor will be like, "Hey,
put a helmet
if
on.
If you don't, if you don't want to pick him up, just put a helmet, like a head forming." But at least that, I mean, that's a form of love as well, right? Like, so I don't know if it's exactly that, because the people that are putting the helmets on clearly love their children. So I'm not sure. But back in the day, 100%, that was like when you would see a flat back of the head. Like, no, the neck, there was no curvature. It was just like flat back to the neck. That was like you were just left laying down or left in your crib.
Yeah. I mean, also, I heard
at a very young age.
I heard that from a bunch of fucking dumbass 18-year-olds in basic training. So, you know, there's no scientific evidence behind it.
Yes. In December of 2023, Gypsy Rose was released on parole after serving 8 years out of her 10-year sentence. Once free from prison, she wrote a book about her experiences and did multiple interviews. Becoming somewhat of a sensation, her and Ryan, the teacher that she married in prison, continued their relationship until March of 2024.
Holy shit.
So
wait,
a couple months after. When Gypsy announced they were getting a divorce. Following the announcement, Gypsy began hanging out with Ken, her first fiance in prison. Yes, they're just friends.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting matching tattoos and they're just friends.
Of course.
And she finally deleted all of her social media accounts and she has not made any public appearances since. But my gosh, that is last month.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing story. When she was first released, I was like, had mixed feelings. But I think, and I have thoughts about the entire case, but like,
what about her boy who's still in prison?
So he's in prison, life sentence, and there's life some sentence? Kind of order that they cannot have any communication whatsoever.
Because he's a creep or something?
Well, I mean, the last time they were hanging out, they killed somebody.
Well, he actually, he actually killed, like, did the stabbing, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing the time for the crime. But then she also got 10 years for...
I thought, is it life? He actually got life in prison for killing?
He got life plus 25 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. I was like, I thought it was 25 years, but okay. Life.
Yeah, they added an extra 25 on top.
So but he's done... Definitely going to be in there for a while. He's done interviews, and I think it's interesting, like, all of the... Like, she's become, like, this celebrity. She's on, like, every podcast. Her Instagram is, like, however many, 7 million or something before she deleted it. She did a Lifetime documentary, wrote a book. Like, she is a really famous person. We're all very sympathetic to her story, of course.
Totally.
What?
Just her voice. Like,
her
fucking voice.
It's more... It's more than that, though.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
it's
fuck.
It's really bad.
Oh, my God.
That D is fire.
Oh,
remember
God.
She wrote that?
Dude.
People were coming after her husband of 2 months, right? And she was like, don't listen to him, babe. That D is fire.
You have to stop doing that.
Okay, man. I will. I actually don't. That sounded bad to myself.
No, but if you put those voices side by side, that's
what do you think?
Identical.
That's identical.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Could I
especially
kill
from the news interviews
Could
that she's
done.
Could
I persuade gotten? With that voice, that face, that body? Do you think I could persuade somebody to fucking kill my mom? And how did she do it? Withheld. She said, when you do it, we can have sex. I don't know. She's a mastermind.
Oh,
she's smarter than we think. No, I'm just joking.
You're probably
very
right.
Sympathetic. She
you're
was
probably
insanely.
Right.
No, but
right.
She was insanely abused. It's unimaginable. But 10 years.
I think the guy should be let out.
It should have been nothing. right? Nothing, nothing or everything. Like, if we believe that she is some kind of criminal mind, it should have been everything or nothing.
Yeah.
This idea that it's like, we know you were abused, you were basically held hostage, you did what you had to do with your 14-year-old mind and your whatever, you killed somebody so you could escape. We're either saying that happened and you get no time, or we're saying you're a cold-blooded murderer and you get put in jail for that. This 10-year thing was strange to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, it really is, because exactly the way that you were describing it, is she dangerous to society or is she a victim?
Or is she a victim that was, as we know it now, horribly abused, manipulated from the age where you don't even know what life is.
Yeah.
And then when she started to know what life was, she was abused even more and did what she, the only thing she had to do. I think the thing that fucking got her in jail was that fucking video.
Mm,
of
really?
Her, like,
having
with
so
the,
much
you know
fun
what I mean? The way that they,
she dead.
Took a bunch of videos like that and they
showing
had
no
that
remorse and things like that.
And
but
planning to get away with it. They mailed the knife and, you know, all of their evidence to the house. So you're saying she should get time for
but
knowing
not,
how
not
to.
Not life in prison, but you, any, if you kill anyone, even for a good reason, you gotta pay your dues. That's what makes it. The only way you would kill someone is if it was worth it even to do the time. That's how you know it was fucking serious, that it had to be done. If you could just, anytime you were in a bad place, you could kill someone and not go to jail, then everybody would be killing everyone when they felt they were in a bad place.
Yeah, but there's things like self-defense. There's things like involuntary manslaughter. There's things like,
but even manslaughter, you still have to do time.
Five.
Yeah.
And
so
it's not usually
yeah, in
five.
The in the situation that Joel's talking about, that, I mean, it does make sense that it's unfortunate, but it is kind of a warning to anybody else to not try the same thing. And so if she did get away
no,
with
but
it.
No, but I think what he's talking about is for Nicholas, where it's like.
For both of them, yeah.
Not for both of them. One of them was basically being held against their will with a chain around their foot and was like, the only way that you can save me is to kill the person that's chained me up. And the other person goes, well, I know this is wrong, but I love you and I want to save you.
Yeah, it's a crime of passion.
For Nicholas, it makes sense that he got the sentence that he did, because he's the type of person that's able to be talked into murdering somebody that he doesn't even know. Gypsy was just trying to get out of her situation, but I...
But if you tell somebody, there's a couple cases like this. Like, if you tell somebody, which is something that, you know, wives use sometimes to get, you know, lovers or whatever to kill their husband, is that they're being abused, they're help, you know. And so these guys, a couple of people have gotten off because these guys have been, like, literally talked into, like, I'm doing the right thing. And this woman is like, I can't get out. I'm being beat. You love her. And you're like, I mean, this is the only way. But you're right. You got to have mind enough to be like, we have to go to the police, right? Or we have to do this in the right way. But if you have a mind that's like Nicholas, which is definitely diminished in some way and neurodivergent and all of this, telling him that you will be my hero, this is the only way that I can get out of this horrible situation, and telling him about all the things that are happening to her every night. Where do we...
Yeah. He's easily manipulated up to the point where you could get him to kill someone. So that's scary to let him out. I see that.
But in this case, he wasn't manipulated by lies. These things were really happening to her.
Yeah.
True.
So it's not like someone being like...
It's definitely a weird gray area. Because like for me, I'm imagining like if my wife told me right now that there was a guy abusing her...
Mm-hmm.
I would kill that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right now.
Now, would you be like...
Would I get life in prison for defending my wife?
Yeah, most likely if you
killed
him
in cold
blood.
Would you still do it?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh my God.
Don't touch my wife. I'll fucking kill you. That's the truth.
Even if you're
going to
spend life in prison.
Well, I hope I don't.
No, you will. You will.
From knowing Joel for as long as I have,
there's not a doubt in my mind. Of course,
he's
100%
serious. He would spend life in prison.
But here's the thing.
I've ever heard.
Here's the thing, though. I would never kill anybody. I never have, and I'm a good person. That would be like the only situation when I would. So I'm not a threat to anybody unless they're a threat to someone I love.
Would you ever think of maybe calling police?
Oh, yeah, but they don't. They don't get to go to jail for punching my wife. They get to die for punching my wife. The punishment of jail is not enough.
And see, that's why him and I have been friends for so long, is because as soon as I found out about it, I would be the one that would convince him to, like, no, just hang on, make a few phone calls. And
yes, there's, I think that is,
it depends on the level
that's
of the
abuse. Idea. I'm sure the judge is like, man, I hate fucking doing this. But really, there is other avenues in place. There's other avenues in place for you to save a wife that's being abused.
It depends on what he did. A slap in the face, I'll just beat him nearly to death and make him deformed.
Why can't you just go get her?
Well, I would do that too.
Okay.
But people need to be, they need to learn
oh,
their
you
lesson.
Would have her and then you would kill.
Oh, yeah. Be like, okay, let's make you safe. And
yeah, it would
so
be
if that is what Nicholas did, which, like, he got Gypsy safe and then he went back and killed, 100%. He should be in there for life, and so should you if you did that. But if the only way to actually get her out of, right, like that's kind of self-defense. The only way that you can actually get her out without the person that's holding her hurting you or killing you is to kill them.
Stab them to death while they sleep.
While they sleep.
All right. Well, then I would just get your advice first and make sure I didn't get caught.
Listen, if someone is in the act of grabbing your wife, pulling her away from you, if you don't kill them, I will kill you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But if there is a weird area of like, hey, man, some stuff is happening here and I don't like it, and you and her can't figure out how to extradite her from that.
Yeah.
We have a problem, right? But
I wouldn't kill
and then
a dude
that would be self defense. That
I'd
would be self defense, and you would not go to jail anyway. So
it's got to be. It has to happen all at once.
It has to be in the moment. The only option that you have for her not to, in your eyes, die.
Yeah, and then you'd have to be able to convince a jury of that was the only option that you had in the situation.
Oh, I could do that. Okay, we're good then.
That was fast.
He'll just bring us in.
Yeah.
He'd be like, here's my witnesses.
I got two lawyers.
These are my lawyers and witnesses. Can that be the same?
That's totally cool, right?
We have DNA. I don't know what that is, but like we have it. Yeah,
here's my diaper. You can check it.
I have my diaper with DNA. It could try and convict me. So anyways, lots of mixed feelings on this case. Lots of ins and outs. Lots of what is abuse? What is being held hostage? What is your only outlet? Who is really at fault? So, like I said, when she was getting all this notoriety, he kind of felt like, all right, well, I'm going to do some interviews just to like say my side, which is like, I felt like exactly what Joel is saying. He's, you know, he's autistic, but it's, you know, Asperger's. We know people like that. They can speak.
You,
not you.
Okay, good.
We can, they can speak in a way that's like very, you know,
yeah,
when they need to or when, whatever. So, when he's talking about it, you go like, dang, we're giving her so much shine for getting out of this, but she,
in a way, she used
got
him.
Someone yeah. to do this for her, and she got someone to do it for her by saying all the things that you just heard, Joel, like all the things that were happening to her. And if you loved her, you were about to fucking... Kill the mom fucking paragraph two.
In a way, she did the same thing her mom was doing to her to him.
No,
but I see what you're saying there. But also at the same time, it's like different because she was telling the truth.
Yeah. So,
but she did get somebody else to kill someone for her, and
right.
that guy's going to be in prison for the rest of his life.
And she is out with lifetime documentaries, with 2-3 husbands, fiancés. She's living her life. She's doing every interview possible. She's walking red carpets. And this guy is like, yes, I am the murderer. But, and so I think that imbalance is going to cause a problem coming up. So
let him out.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say I love that she's free. I don't think she ever should have gone to jail, but I think that he should have gotten the sentence that she got, and then the medical, all the medication that you need help beyond that. So
that I 100% agree with.
So I don't love the idea that like he's life, getting all the things, and she's the only sympathetic figure in here.
Yeah, and she's not. I thought like,
and it's controversial. And what I will say is setting us apart is no other podcast is saying that.
That's what's so fucking boring about all the other true crime podcasts.
I know they're just like, facts. Do you know what I mean? Like research.
You look at any given situation and you try to not put yourself in that person's position and be like, oh, what would I do there? And you just flat out demonize them. I mean, some people are shitty. Like some people are full blown demons. 100%. They're pretty easy to pick up
100%.
On. But I mean, you put yourself in that person's situation, but you're going to understand the situation a whole lot more.
Exactly. But both of them, I think, got convicted and got the sentences based on their behavior directly after. Mm. So like that video got her 10 years. He had some questionable stuff after that was caught on video, and they were able to, as far as the prosecution was able to show, two cold-blooded killers. Now, looking back at how they got there, as far as sentencing is not, or conviction doesn't really matter, right? Now it does. Now that she's out, we can think about it. But I felt weird when she got out. I felt weird when she got out and she was doing all this, like, living life as if nothing, she was just so excited and everything was amazing. And so I felt weird about it. I know now why I feel weird about it. It's because this dude, is still serving a life sentence plus 25 years. For a crime they did together, and for a crime that he was thought that he was being a heroic person
yeah.
and saving someone that he loved. So,
which he kind of was.
And so it's interesting right
it was
now.
Malicious, but not.
And it's going to get more interesting. I wasn't sure what the thing was going to be. I didn't think she was going to like kill anybody or do anything bad. But I was like, what is wrong with this? Why do I feel weird about this? This is why updates to come.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2025, 2026, we're going to have a...
Let him out.
Gypsy Rose,
Nicholas Godogin.
Go to the John. update, I think. Something's fucking weird here. There's no way that you get out of this unscathed.
Isn't that the law? I know that, like, a bank robbery, for example, if you're the driver, you get the same punishment as the person that went in and took the money.
Mm.
So why isn't it?
I don't know about
that
same.
Way?
You get. I don't know about same. You get accomplice, right? So depending
accessory
on what
to a
they
crime.
Did,
yeah, it's close.
You get you get a big sentence, but
yeah.
You don't get the same as if someone went in and killed someone, right? You get accessory to
a murder,
right?
Now then, you compare her to somebody like Charles Manson. Charles Manson never killed anybody himself, spent the rest of his life in prison. I mean, he's the kind of guy that needs to spend the rest of his life in prison. I think that he kind of thrived there and really blossomed.
Yeah, but if we're doing this, let's look back to his childhood. What abuse did he fucking suffer? You know what I'm saying? So, like, what?
That's what's so goddamn hard about demonizing anybody for me.
I know.
Is like there's a series of events. That's why Carl Panzram is like one of the most interesting murderers to me.
Which we've got to do. within the next like 5 episodes.
Ooh, I
don't you think?
I already got some notes put together for it.
I know. That's your dude.
He and was then a after fucking that, monster, we'll but BTK. He was made to be a monster. And oh, and BTK, I will talk shit about that.
So
guy
BTK's my dude. Panzram's your dude. We've got.
I'm a big
him.
Fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then we'll do Arnold Schwarzenegger's crimes. Crimes.
He
just has a loose cannon. That's all.
Is that what you call
it?
Is
bang your nanny? He just likes to goose a gal every once in a while.
Look, look where he grew up. He could have been a Nazi.
Thank you. And
technically, he was. Kind of. His dad was.
He could have been your hero. All right. Yeah! Now listen. What did I say before I accidentally said, oh, girl power. Like, show me something that you can do, right?
Yeah.
What was the first thing I said? Well, I said, show me something you can do.
You can do this. You could do that.
You could do. Come home from prolapse.
Yeah! There it is.
I wanted to do the exact quote, but I couldn't remember it. Wonder if you could like clip that, put it at the end, and prolapse it. Elongate it.
Good luck to all of our listeners trying to figure out where that came from.
They just shut it off right in. They're like, oh, okay, I guess it's the end.
No, because now there's a mystery.